are listening to the WGXC Acra 90.7 on your FM dial. And WGXC.org on your smartphone or computer.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. You've tuned in during our Tower of Power pledge drive, where we're asking you, should we stay on the FM tower and keep broadcasting on 90.7 FM, or should we save money and just be an internet-only media project? It's up to you. If we get enough donations, then we will keep broadcasting on FM and renew our lease with our tower, where our antenna is located and beams out 3,300 watts of community voices all the day and all the night. Go to WGXC.org/donate to keep that happening. Keep WGXC and all your friends and neighbors on the radio at 90.7 FM. Keep them on the radio. Go to WGXC.org/donate to keep Amy Goodman on the radio, to keep all your friends and neighbors on the radio at WGXC.org/donate.
This is the network, network.
On Sunday, October 9th, turn out or tune in to a performance of Elvis Perkins in Deerland at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Elvis Perkins in Deerland is Columbia County resident Elvis Perkins playing with Nicholas Kinsey, Brigham Bro, and Wyndham Garnett. They don't play too often out in the Hudson Valley, but they have played at the Newport Folk Festival and the Primavera Sound Festival. This is their first Hudson Valley appearance in a decade. To turn out or tune in, there'll be a live webcast at WGXC.org from 8 to 10 p.m. Sunday, October 9th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Oak Pizzeria Napolitana in Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mid-Hudson News reports that Greenville Town Justice Alios Craker has been censured by the New York State Commission on Judicial Conduct. The decision was based on three separate complaints filed against the judge. The commission's September decision was announced this week. Craker, the owner of Lou's Automotive, was accused of handling two cases that he should have recused himself from. In the first civil case, Craker did not disclose the plaintiff in the case was a customer of his auto business. He also, quote, made rude and undignified comments to the defendant, unquote, giving the appearance of bias. In another civil matter, Craker did not disclose his business relationship with one of the named defendants. Greenville Saw Service, a defendant, is owned by a member of the Greenville Town Board, which is responsible for the court's annual budget. In addition, the judge uses the business to maintain his equipment, and the board member uses the judge's auto repair business. The third complaint was from the New York State Comptroller's Office, which alleged that Craker failed to file reports of court monies received for a period of time. The Comptroller's Office requested the town supervisor withhold the judge's salary until the reports were submitted. The court eventually filed the reports, and the judge's salary was reinstated. Craker participated in remedial training as part of the settlement agreement. Commission Administrator Robert Tembekshian said, quote, "Judge Craker's acceptance of responsibility and remedial efforts warranted a second chance," unquote. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Nancy Vu reports for Politico that while Republican North Country Congressperson Elise Stefanik voted against President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package last year, she's touting the benefits the bill she voted against is bringing to her district. Stefanik said at a press conference last week, and I quote, "This significant investment will help bolster rural hospitals in upstate New York and the North Country after lost revenues due to the coronavirus pandemic, help address the physician shortage, and ensure these hospitals can continue to meet our community's health care needs," end quote. At the time she voted against the American Rescue Plan, she called it a, and I quote, "far-left wish list," end quote. In August, Stefanik crowed about the $1 million coming to her district from a rural development grant, which she also voted against. A Stefanik spokesperson admitted the 21st Congressional District representative voted against the bills, but then still tries to claim credit for the bills Stefanik voted against. The spokesperson said, and I quote, "She voted no against Pelosi's radical spending bills because of far-left provisions, but she will always effectively deliver solutions and funds for her constituents, and then she will announce and promote them when they are delivered," end quote. White House Assistant Press Secretary Robin Patterson pushed back. Patterson said, and I quote, "After trying to sell middle-class families out to Big Pharma and fighting to raise insurance premiums for working families, it's no surprise that Representative Stefanik and House Republicans are trying to take credit for President Biden and Congressional Democrats' work to protect rural hospitals," end quote. Read more about this story at Politico.
Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that Democrat Nick Chase is challenging incumbent Republican State Assembly member Chris Tague in the upcoming 102nd Assembly District election in November. Tague was first elected to the state legislature in 2018, and his name will appear on the Republican and conservative lines, while Chase will be on the Democratic line. Chase, 21, grew up on a small farm in Delaware County and went on to study political science at Hartwick College. He has now chosen to pause his education and took a job at the Shinnecavis Central School District as a long-term substitute teacher. He is currently teaching high school English. After 2 years, he said his time in the schools inspired him to run for office. Chase puts education, agriculture, the economy, energy, and gun control, among other issues, at the top of his priorities. Quote, "Energy, particularly methods of energy production, will be a rising issue in the coming years in state government," unquote, Chase said on his campaign website. Quote, "If we want to adapt, our state needs to go green," unquote. On guns, he said, better control is needed. Quote, "Gun violence is at an all-time high in our country. The majority of gun owners would never even think of doing harm to innocent people. This is why we need to focus more on promising these regulations are not punitive to gun owners, while ensuring ill-minded people who wish to do us harm are not able to have access to guns," unquote. Tague, 53, was first elected to the Assembly in April 2018, and then re-elected to serve a full term that November. He was most recently re-elected in 2020. He resides in Schoharie, where he has lived his entire life. He attended the Schoharie Central School, graduating in 1987. After graduation, Tague started his own dairy farm before moving on to Cobleskill Stone Products. Tague's government webpage said he is focused on key issues that impact his constituents, including expanding access to broadband internet, COVID-19 recovery, reducing taxes, providing support for local farmers, and fixing upstate's failing infrastructure. The page said Tague is also, quote, "invested in many social issues like combating the heroin epidemic, which he has addressed during his time as town supervisor and assemblyman, and the protection and support of our firefighters, EMS, and first responders," unquote. Other important issues that Tague said are important to him are taxes, agriculture, dealing with developmental disability issues, and economic development. Voting begins October 29th and ends on November 8th. The new 102nd Assembly District encompasses the town of Shadakin in Ulster County, all of Greene and Schoharie counties, and parts of Delaware, Albany, and Otsego counties. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Chris Churchill reports in the Times Union that for the first time since 1946, the New York governor's election will only list two choices on the ballot. Republican Lee Zeldin and Democrat Kathy Hochul are not the only ones running for governor, however. A few years ago, then-Governor Andrew Cuomo forced through changes that made it much more difficult for third-party and independent candidates to get on the ballot in New York. This is the first year where those changes are keeping others off the ballot. Howie Hawkins, the Green Party nominee, who received 104,000 votes in the 2018 governor's race, is running again, but not on the ballot. Hawkins said, and I quote, "The Democrats and Republicans don't represent all of us. You need more than two choices to have a real debate," end quote. Hawkins and Libertarian Larry Sharp are both not on the ballot and not invited to the single debate between Hochul and Zeldin, even though both candidates received more than 100,000 votes in the last election for governor. A state appeals court turned down Libertarian efforts to get their candidate back on the ballot. Governor Kathy Hochul has ignored all pleas to switch back to the old rules where other candidates, not just Democrats and Republicans, appear on the ballot. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that overdose deaths are in New York increased 14% in 2021 compared to the previous year, according to a report released October 17th by the State Department of Health. The data released as part of a quarterly update from public health officials on opioid usage and deaths statewide comes as the state continues to grapple with a sharp rise in overdose fatalities. The increase coincided with the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. The report also found a 2% rise in hospitalizations due to opioid overdoses and a 7% rise in opioid overdoses that do not involve heroin. Overdose deaths are also on the rise across the country as fentanyl usage has spread. Emergency room visits have also sharply increased by 24%, health data show. All told, 2,630 overdoses of heroin, opioids, and other drugs were recorded outside of New York City last year in the state. In August, State Health Commissioner Mary Bassett ordered pharmacies to carry Naxalon for use to counter the effects of an overdose and help a person resume normal breathing. More than 30,000 administrations of Naxalon have been made through September 6th. Read more at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Greenport Rescue Squad is looking for someone to run its day-to-day operations. Tony Moranti, Greenport Rescue's president, said Greenport Rescue is the largest medical service agency in Columbia County and is now accepting applications for the full-time position. Moranti said the position was eliminated 7 years ago, but has been restored because of the large volume of calls the squad has been receiving. Greenport Rescue responds to more than 6,000 calls every year and has a fleet of 9 ambulances. Moranti said the successful candidate will run the squad's day-to-day operations and report to the executive team. Applicants must hold a New York State paramedic certification, online status in the REMO region, experience in advanced cardiovascular life support, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, pediatric advanced life support with specialty care transports, and medically facilitated intubations. 5 or more years of EMS experience, and 3 or more years of managerial supervisory experience, preferably in EMS and more. The position will be 40 hours per week with a 5-day work week. The Greenport Rescue Squad serves 25,000 people in the greater Hudson area. The squad was founded in 1936 as a nonprofit community service organization, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom,
I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, the frost advisory will be in effect until 9 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 52 degrees. Wednesday night, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 35 degrees. And on Thursday, sunny with a high near 53 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 36 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia County.
Wednesday, October 19th, there's all sorts of live radio shows on WGXC 90.7 FM. Another reason you might donate during our WGXC Fall Pledge Drive at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Make a contribution to keep all sorts of live community voices on the radio. Like today at 10 a.m., it's time for Panther Mountain Sound with Matthew O'Neill down in Ulster County. He is live from Acre at 10 a.m. And then at 11 a.m., Mayuka Fujina is live from Acre with Mirage Station on the radio. Then we switch live to Catskill with Spike Priggen live for 2 hours on the Bedazzled Radio Hour, live from his Spike's Record Rack store on Main Street in Catskill. At 4 p.m., WGXC Afternoon Show is live from Acre. At 7 p.m., the Off the Hook Show is live from Brooklyn. It's simulcast from WBAI and from the Hacker Quarterly 2600, all about technology. And at 8 p.m., Rock and Roll High School with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanovskaya is live from Hudson. And at 10 p.m., the Magic Stranger fills in for Jeff Economy on the Snack Point Charlie Show, live from Columbia County. And at midnight, there's 2 more hours of live programming with Peter Aaron and his Go-Go Kitty Show, simulcast from Radio Kingston on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Cara Durham's High School's National Honor Society is holding the Fall Festival, a flea market and trunk sale fundraiser with food and fun. The festival will be held on October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Cara Durham Elementary School. Money raised benefits the Cara Durham school community and clubs. For more information, contact by email amanoli@caradurham.org or ws003@caradurham.org. For information and inquiries about being a vendor, contact ek007@caradurham.org. Participate and have fun while raising money for the school.
I'm Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The Jazz Disturbance features jazz and other improvised music. Tune in on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wave Farm Radio app on your smartphone. Playlists are posted at facebook.com/CKDisturbance.
and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, October 19th. At the time of this recording, local early morning temperatures range from 31 degrees in Red Falls to 35 in Rhinebeck Burr. Regional average soil temperature is on its decline, 50 degrees, pretty much following with the river. Snow falling again today in western New York. No need for a number. We know to just be afraid. And get those tires checked out or replaced before the snow makes those bowling balls you've been driving on extra dangerous. Okay, a frosty morning gives way to a cool afternoon. Winds will be breezy with some non-damaging gusts this afternoon. Temperature hits a high of 52 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, it gets pretty cold again. Frost warnings will be out as temperatures fall to 35 degrees. Tomorrow, dry again with a high of 55 and mostly sunny skies. 32 degrees overnight takes us into an even sunnier Friday with a high of 60. And so far, the weekend is looking really nice. Highs in the 60s both days. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:43 a.m., high tide at 11:25 a.m., low tide again at 5:42 p.m., then high tide once again at 11:28 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 58 degrees and the tide strength will be low. Sunset today will be at 5:56 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:08 a.m. Looking way up, we see things are still quiet. Even M-class flares have only a 1% chance of happening today. Solar wind speed is currently 446 kilometers per second at 4.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 MHz till dark, then fair across the board with good conditions below 4 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 50. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who reminds you, give a hoot, don't pollute. The airwaves, that is. Help keep the original and local programming you know and love flying out from that radio tower. Head on over to WGXC.org, hit that big easy donate button. You'll be glad you did.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Chris Anderson of Germantown, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
My goal is to build community right here. By adding 4 new sustaining supporters today during this hour, we're going to help to raise money so the station, WGXC, can renew its lease on the tower. The tower is key. That's what makes the radio go out. And I had a good view of the tower today on my way into the station here. So how do you pledge? Go to WGXC.org or you can call 518-697-7400. Help me add 4 new sustaining supporters this hour.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Sure ain't a dad, and she don't need advice to the sender. She's happy the way she looks, she's happy with her gender, and they love each other so androgynous. Closer than you know, love each other so androgynous.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The court got Roe right nearly 50 years ago, and I believe Congress should codify Roe once and for all.
In Washington Tuesday, President Biden said he would prioritize an abortion rights bill if Democrats retain the House and Senate in November. Assistant Attorney General Christopher Schroeder testified before Senate lawmakers Tuesday on executive privilege, a right presidents can assert to withhold information from the legislative or judicial branches.
Congress is entitled to honest interpretations of the law by the executive branch. I think this president is dedicated to that proposition. He issued a day one executive order affirming the independence of the Justice Department.
Former President Donald Trump and his lawyers continue to argue executive privilege can be used to shield information from his time in office from the Justice Department. The FBI says battleground states like Georgia are likely to see calls for election audits and recounts, and are more likely to see threats and harassment directed at election workers. During a Tuesday debate between Republican Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger and his Democratic challenger, B. Nguyen, Nguyen called for election worker reforms.
We need to repeal the provisions of Senate Bill 202 that have added additional burden on our election workers, including having to spend critical time going over these mass voter challenges. At least 65,000 Georgians have been challenged.
According to the FBI, among more than 1,000 reports to the task force monitoring threats to election workers, 11% met criteria for further investigative action. Georgia Republican Senate candidate Herschel Walker is doubling down on the veracity of the sheriff's badge he flashed to the audience during a debate last week after accusations the badge was a prop. In a social media video, Walker posed with Johnson County Sheriff Greg Rowland, who vouched for the badge's authenticity.
If Herschel's badge is a prop, then I guess this badge I wear every day to protect the citizen, I guess it's a prop also.
Walker is running against Democratic incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock. Finally, Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services for Mental Health and Substance Use, Dr. Miriam Delphin Rittman, announced Tuesday an additional $300 million in funding for new community behavioral health clinics to states, coming from the recently passed gun safety bill.
We want to bring every American and every community hope, a hope ignited by knowing that care is available, that it is accessible, and that it is culturally appropriate.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Remember that scene in the movie Halloween where Michael Myers gets poked in the eye, falls out a window, and then gets up to fight another day? Ohio's gerrymandered congressional maps are just as scary. Monday, October 17th, the Ohio legislature Republican leadership announced that they would appeal the denial of their gerrymandered congressional maps by the Ohio Supreme Court to the U.S. Supreme Court. In 2018, Ohio voters passed a change to their constitution forbidding partisan gerrymandering with a 75% approval. Over the last 18 months, the state's high court consistently rejected competing congressional and state legislature maps from both the GOP-dominated legislature and the Redistricting Commission, citing gerrymandering. The maps for the 2022 midterm elections defaulted to a gerrymandered one pending resolution of the deadlock. In 2019, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a state gerrymandering case, saying that redistricting was fundamentally a state political question and the federal court shouldn't decide it. Then in 2022, the Supreme Court decided to hear the pending Moore v. Harper independent state legislature case. It's technically about gerrymandering in North Carolina, but has negative ramifications for control of elections around the country. It's not clear whether the U.S. Supreme Court will hear the Ohio case or kick it back to the state. Articles and groups taking action are linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
WGXC.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. That's what it takes to support your community radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. You can listen to us at wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wave Farm Radio app on your smartphone. Our website is WGXC.org. During this pledge drive, WGXC is partnering with Spike's Record Rack at 395 Main Street in Catskill, John Doe Books and Records at 434 Warren Street in Hudson, and Boom and Bloom at 2176 Route 147 in East Durham to offer you another opportunity to support community radio. When you make a purchase on used vinyl at these stores, a portion will go to WGXC. WGXC hats and hoodies will also be for sale at these three local record stores. And you can get a free WGXC bumper sticker. Just ask. Thank you for your support.
Satellites gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love. Satellite's gone way up to Mars. Soon it'll be filled with parking cars. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of. I've been told that you've been bold with Harry, Mark, and John. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday through Thursday, with Harry, Mark, and John. Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind.
watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We are joined now by Reverend Ibrahim Perinan, the ACCFL president. Welcome.
I'm here. How are you?
Today, we got some news on the Amazon unionizing results. Can you break the news to us, please?
Absolutely. Well, anytime workers organize, it's always an exciting opportunity. And it looks like we're going to have more opportunities to organize because the results were 406 against and 206 for. So not the results that we were hoping for, but anytime David goes up against Goliath, you kind of imagine, despite the stories that Goliath is going to win, Amazon spent millions and millions of dollars on busting this this union campaign and this drive. And they had vote no shirts that they were handing out. They were pulling people into meetings to say, hey, you're on disability. You know, do you have a lawyer? Are you voting yes? And, you know, really kind of intimating that they wouldn't have anything if they voted yes for the union, and really kind of scare tactic on some of these workers. So it's not the result that we hoped for, but anytime anybody stands up and says, I deserve a voice and a vote, we know that that's a really good a good thing for all workers.
Yeah, this sounds a lot like what the results were from Bessemer, Alabama, where I think the country was expecting unionizing to take place, and similar feedback from people was that there was some union busting going on. Can you compare the two situations?
I unfortunately can't because I don't know what was going on. I don't know anybody in Bessemer. I mean, mm-hmm. I've heard stories, but you know, like here at least, you know, I have the personal connections and the people who are able to kind of point out this, that, or the other thing. But, you know, it's there's sort of a rule book for union busing, and that is you start people's employment off with captive audience meetings. You pull them, right out the gate. You say, the union is a business, and they're just here to take your money, and there are certain things, and then they saddle up next to you on your machine or at your lunch, and kind of spread these seeds of doubt or concern. They threaten your employment and say, if you're going to do this, this may adversely affect you. They obviously don't tell you any of the good things or any of the balanced things. They don't engage in any sort of equal sided debate or conversation. It's solely one sided, and of course they have an entire budget for those things, whereas the union organizing generally has a very, minuscule budget, maybe funded just by workers themselves, or whatever, especially, in a case like we had here in Albany, definitely not, a multi-million dollar budget. They were paying, one of their union busters, $3,200 a day, and that's not something that any workers could afford to provide, an anti-union buster for the same amount. So the tactics are pretty common and pretty disgusting. And so we saw that in both of those instances, but I think also any of the campaigns, you see headlines and news about the Starbucks union busting, or if you talk to the folks here locally, they're saying the exact same thing. My manager at the busiest time of the day pulls me off the floor, causing actual harm for the coworkers, harm for the customers, but they don't care. It's really to just create this intimidation and to really make people be like, yeah, fine, I'll just vote no. Let me get back on the floor and help people. And it's kind of this really disgusting way of trying to, psychological warfare, really.
Yeah, so it sounds like there are two main things going on. The scare tactic, but also abusing people's maybe lack of knowledge about how unions work and how it would have been implemented in this situation.
Absolutely. And one of the things you'll hear out of ALU and ALB1 is, they're pulling people who are on disability, they're pulling people who are the most vulnerable, and they're exploiting that vulnerability, which is just absolutely, it's horrific. It's horrific. And I believe that they said that they are going to not even try for a re-election. They're just going to say, they're going to ask the NLRB for a direct bargaining order, because there's no way that an election could be functional. They're supposed to have what they call laboratory conditions. It's supposed to be quote unquote sterilized. There's not supposed to be, no electioneering, blah, 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 blah.
And what is it? Direct bargaining?
No.
What does that mean?
A direct bargaining order. So it's just saying, look, there's no way that in any situation that any union vote could actually be legitimate, because you're gonna corner people and tell them to vote no. I mean, they have big banners inside the building that say vote no.
Isn't that illegal?
And isn't that illegal? I mean, this is exactly why. But they don't care. Why would they care? They can break the law. They can pay a $100,000 fee, and that's like water off a duck's back at that point.
Paying, and so therefore it doesn't matter. Who is the oversight here in that situation?
Well, this is why there really needs to be labor law reform in this country, because even if you have the National Labor Relations Board, which is supposed to be some modicum of oversight, there's no enforcement mechanism. And the enforcement mechanisms that they have are so weak that an employer is just going to be like, well, it'll cost us $100,000, to pay for this violation, for this fine. We can easily, hand that down the pipe, no problem. That saves us a whole lot. That actually saves them time and money, right? They don't have to. So So I believe that the direct bargaining order says it's because there could never be a vote that was not laboratory conditioned, safe, that was actually, you know, for the workers, or, you know, safe, protected, that they are just going to, like, say you need to bargain, which is wild. I'm excited that that's a possibility. And I just learned about that this afternoon. So excited to see maybe the possibilities of how that plays out.
Yeah. Sounds like overall you sound pretty optimistic. So can you talk about what the next steps are and where you and the union organizers see moving forward at this moment?
Well, usually everyone takes a step back, takes a deep breath, takes a nap, you know, whatever, whatever they can do to really recuperate. Because it's a slog, it's a battle, it's a fight, you know, and people are tired. So I think the first step is going to be just to take a breath. Even though when I saw Chris Smalls today, the president of ALU, he left right after the decision because he had to go out to California because they've got a warehouse out there that's unionizing. And so he doesn't get to rest, you know, but the workers here who are the on-the-ground workers who are, you know, having the conversations, making the phone calls, doing the work, getting harassed by management on the workroom floor, they're the ones that, you know, need to take a breath. But then, I mean, depending on how this direct bargaining order works itself out, I don't know how that will play out, frankly. I'll just be 100% honest. But even when you have a union, you're constantly organizing. You're constantly kind of working to get better conditions, to stop harassment, to encourage workers, and to really make sure that all the wages, the benefits, the working conditions are above par, you know, and are actually valuable for the workers. So the organizing never stops. You know, even as a union person myself, you're constantly organizing. You're constantly working to try to make sure that the workplace is better. It's what workers deserve, and workers deserve everything. So,
great. I think we're just about out of time, but I feel like even if it didn't succeed in unionizing, you mentioned Chris Smalls going over to California, so. This was a pretty big news nationally. So even if it didn't succeed here, the fact that the organizing effort was greatly supported could be supporting the efforts over in California, couldn't that?
Not only that, but I think it also gives rise to a greater sense of consciousness of our own organizing here in the Capital Region. And I think it gives people the permission that maybe they felt like they didn't have to say, we want to organize like that. It increases worker consciousness and the ability for people to say, I want to reach out to some of those organizers and figure out what they did right, what they did wrong, and organize my workplace as well. And I think that is one of the great boons to any organizing campaign.
Yeah, that is really important. Appreciate you so much coming on to our program so last minute.
Anything else you'd like to add in the last few seconds?
All power to the workers. That's the way I generally end these things. Workers are the majority of a workplace, and the majority of the workplace deserves to have the voice and the vote. So every worker deserves a union. Every worker deserves to have democracy in their workplace.
Thank you so much, Reverend Ibrahim Pedjinan,
so
coming on the show. That's Mohawk Magazine. We hope to have you on again
great
soon.
Great to talk to everyone. Solidarity.
Solidarity.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
That was 2022 new music from Lucretia Dalt. The song was called Atemporal on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
We're listening to the sounds of the environment on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM during our fall pledge drive. You can hear Quintron's weather warlock, which synthesizes the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature, and turns them into sound. Also, Quintron's traffic sax is listening in on the goings-on on Route 23 in Acre. We've got Zach Pop's pond station monitoring the underground or underwater sounds in the wave farm ponds. We've got the test site for Acoustic Commons microphone open in the wave farm woods, and we're tuning in to the sounds of your environment. Seen lots of mushrooms with the recent rains, also hickory nuts falling off the trees, and boy, those maple trees are a special kind of peach orange, leaves at least. At Wave Farm recently, and we try to keep you in touch with the animal comings and goings at Wave Farm, as well as the environmental impact you can hear from humans. Another reason you might consider making a donation during the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive. It's our Tower Power Pledge Drive. We're asking you to keep the WGXC FM antenna on our tower. But we can only do that if we can afford it, and we need a few more folks to sign up as sustaining supporters to do that. So it's a referendum on if you wanted to keep WGXC on FM this pledge drive. If so, make a donation at wgxc.org/donate. wgxc.org/donate is the place to go. If you want to make a difference in your community and vote for community radio with public access on the public airwaves. We want to thank anonymous listener from Amherst, Massachusetts, who went to wgxc.org/donate to make a one-time pledge of support. We're also very grateful to an anonymous Catskill listener for going to wgxc.org/donate to become our newest sustaining supporter. And another anonymous listener from Catskill becoming a monthly sustaining supporter at wgxc.org/donate. Just 17 cents a day, or $5 a month, and you too could be a monthly sustaining supporter at WGXC. Proudly voting for community access to the public airwaves. Can we count on your help today? You can call 518-697-7400 or go online to WGXC.org/donate or stop by in person to any of the three local record stores participating in the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive. That's John Doe Books and Records in Hudson, Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill, and the Boom and Bloom Shop out on Route 145 in East Durham. But please, go to WGXC.org/donate today and make a difference in your community so it's here tomorrow. Just heard The Tunnel from Aaron Dillaway and Lucretia Dalt's 2021 album Lucy and Aaron. From Philadelphia, here is guitarist Chris Forsyth with his song High Castle Rock from the album The Rarity of Experience.